Just stepped in the studio here. Thank you for joining me for another Ram Radio, the webcast. And it's Sunday afternoon here in Los Angeles. I got a lot of stuff to do. Look at that misspelled word. FIDE, July 19th. It's not FIDE. It's Sunday, the 21st of July, 2013. And I haven't changed that error. But I'll leave it that way. That's why a lot of people think I'm a crackpot anyhow, right? I can't correct my mistakes. Thinking about a lot of things here lately. And not only giving some thought to it, you should see. A young man just left my house on his way to work, walking to the bus stop to go to his job to make him some money and so that he will be able to live. It's good. Pastor John here in Los Angeles. A lot of things to talk about. You know, I was speaking with a friend of mine, John, and that's all I'll identify him as because our conversation was private and he may not want to let everybody know that I can talk to him on that level. But we were speaking about an issue that I had spoken about earlier. And if you go to the on being tribal and effective, that's a very interesting concept that I was speaking with John about. And I was thinking about it because I believe that that works cross-culturally for everyone. You know, this weekend you have the Lieberman, what is it? The guy that killed the Trayvon Martin kid. And you got that kind of talk. I was watching the news on CNN, and I keep telling myself never to watch that station because it only upsets me when I see them act poorly. And they had a Chicago congressman, his name escapes me, a black gentleman, and his district is, I'm assuming, one of the districts on the south side where all the killings are taking place in Chicago. And I was thinking about that on the news as I was thinking about past webcasts and this being Sunday and all. And in my devotions today, I'm outside enjoying God, nature, the nice humidity in Los Angeles today, and just the coolness of the overcast of the clouds and thinking about God's goodness. Went and had a bite to eat with Devontae. That's the new young man. He just had a good workout here at the house. And he had me make him a protein drink because he's trying to build up body muscle mass. And so I know that when I go shopping at the end of the month that I'm going to have to buy some more stuff to build up body mass because he's doing setups now, push-ups now. His muscles are beginning to bulge out. He is going to be a huge kid and only 21 years old. Getting back in school, wants to play ball. Quite a challenge. Quite a challenge. I mean, he's getting ready to go to work, and he came to me and said, make me a protein drink. And I said to myself, he can make it himself, only to find out that he did not know how to make one. So, yeah, all right, I guess I'm his trainer. And that keeps me sharp. Keeps me sharp. As a matter of fact, he just left the house going to work, and he reminded me so much of Mario when he would leave the house and go to work. I'll flash a picture of him up later, not now. And he's just so excited, but he's his own little man, and he doesn't work near the house. And he's going to work at the place until they lock it down. He has to get on the bus, a couple to be exact, and go to work. That's the kind of obligation that you give him. He's making practically nothing. Nothing. Because he has to prove something to himself. And I pray God that he's able to do it. he's one of the best that I've had with me yet in terms of ambition, but just getting him to get there. And so that's the task. But that has something to do with me being a part of the tribal instinct that he comes from. I was speaking with my friend John about that, and I'd like to add a little bit more on that. Let's say, I'm going to paint the scenario like this. I was having a discussion with a friend of mine over the Trayvon Martin thing. No, it wasn't a friend of mine. It was my daughter. And my daughter was telling me if guns were outlawed, Trayvon Martin would still be alive. And I said, no, you aren't going to take my gun away from me, and you aren't going to try to scare me with that, because I don't want to feel like I'm helpless when I'm home alone and I'm not losing my mind, so I still know who or what I'm aiming at and how much squeeze to put on that trigger before one is let off. I know that. I said that to say this. I said to my daughter, this is what they ought to do. They ought to give somebody some kind of a chip if you own a gun. Like, this is my chip. And my chip is registered to when my gun is picked up and being handled like it's going to fire. Automatically, someone that sees it lighting up, I called it the gun control building, that everybody that has a registered gun that puts it in their hand, an operator comes on and says to you, are you Mr. Coleman, and is your gun in your hand? And I will answer, yes. And they will hear it through that chip and say, do you need the police at your location? And then I would say, yes, again. They could locate me where I am with my gun and send the police. And then when they hear a bullet go off, a couple of rounds, they'll know that I fired it. They can identify me through voice inflection or hand inflection, whatever. But let me have the right to bear my arm and to protect myself. Now, if you want control, that's about as only control I'm going to give you. But they would probably have with that a device where they could shut the gun off so I couldn't fire it. Well, then there's no need for me to have a firearm, is there? Yeah, we were trying to figure out how to protect people from being shot like Trayvon Martin. You can't. That will never work. That's what I was telling my daughter. I said, that will never work. But there is another alternative. The person with whom you are having conflict with, you must seek to become tribal with them. You want to know what they eat. You want to know what has brought them to this particular. You may be saying, no, I don't, John. And especially for those of you that, and I have to say, I cannot say, I went to a Christian website and was reading some Bible studies on this Christian website, and they had a Bible study on dancing. You will not believe. And on your kids not going to the prom. Let me share with, man, they said that you should not allow your children to go to the prom. Why? Number one reason, because they're dancing. Number two, they said, You can just look at people and see whenever they dance, they're making sexual gyrations towards each other. Well, there has always been some kind of a sexual attraction when a boy meets a girl, regardless of their age. Now, any religion that tries to stop that normative process of people being with each other in a happy mode, there's something wrong with that. Jesus went to the wedding in Canaan in Galilee. Do you think they were dancing there? Do you think that those women in the Middle East were gyrating their belly buttons and dancing? Jesus and his disciples were invited. Remember? Ridiculous. Another reason that they said that you shouldn't go to the prom is because since they're dancing and they're touching, it elicits sexual behavior out of a young, immature mind. Of course it does. But they said that the Christian shouldn't go to the prom because you get sucked up into that, and that's wantonness and sin. And I said, the prom is a supervised dance in a school hall. Now, what happens after your child leaves that hall is between that child and whatever they want to do and what you trained them to be. It's almost as bad as you. You know what? And you guys know I'm very, very old-fashioned. I remember when the beepers came out. The beepers. Not the phones where you could text. But the beepers. And mine would beep just and tell me what phone number was calling. And I would go to that phone number and give them a call. Now they have texting phones. Well, my grandchildren each has one. And because one parent gave it to the child and the other parent did not think the child should have a phone, one parent said, I don't believe in texting, and took the phones from the children. And all of their friends are texting each other. What are you trying to do? Are you trying to stop your child? This actually happened. Are you trying to stop your child from being a part of this age? What are you trying to protect them from? From the world. That's what a lot of evangelicals would tell me. I'm trying to protect them from the world, the influence of the world in and on their lives. Well, that's a commendable thing that you're doing. It is. But I don't think that you're going to succeed. Because in their generation, how you doing, bro, man? You doing all right, little boy? All right. You're going to be okay. No, no, no. Stop spitting on me. Sit down. It's going to be okay. Oh, bro, man has terrible breath. Just terrible. But these are some of the dilemmas that, you know, you're going to have as parents. What do you mean by keeping them from the world? I would wish, hope, pray. I recall some of the music that my children were listening to. My son-in-law. And I knew that that music was going to be embraced by his children. And that music was older than the music that I listened to. I mean, newer than the music that I listen to. Because with every generation, about every 10 or 12 years, the music genre changes or switches or blends in. And so do cultural ideas. I'm trying to talk to this new young man about loyalty to the one person that you want to spend hopefully the rest of your life with and to have children with, and you don't want to have the memory of other persons clouding your mind sexually in a way like that, because it takes away the potential and the power of the love that you can have with the person that you have made a committal to. This new tribe that I'm trying to deal with thinks that that concept is what? They have no idea where it comes. Man, check this out. That idea is not connected to anything. To anything. They cannot relate. And I find that extraordinary, just extraordinary, that they cannot relate to that. So the concept is gone, and the concept of loyalty and faithfulness to one person is gone. They're living for the moment, meaning that, all right, this is the idea for those of us that are Christian and want to embrace that idealism, that ideology. Okay. That for the moment you live, therefore enjoy the moment that you're living. Now, when you think of that, honestly, there's really nothing amiss with that kind of thought. It's called dopamine extraordinaire everywhere. They don't want to think about cancer. They don't want to think about a cure for it. Oh, they'll shed a tear. But they're continuously moving. Another thing that I've been trying to do is trying to get them to cut down on their expression of excitement. You know, the things to do. Had this man just hit 21, and I'm trying to tell him, now slow down. Slow down. Are we going here? Are we going there? I said, if I feel like it. And I told him I most likely will not, because that's the way I am. I don't do anything lest I feel like doing it. And I don't do it for the other person because they feel like doing it. I'm going to get up. I feel like cooking. So I'm going to do that so that I can have a nice, healthy meal. I don't eat a lot, and just enough to keep hot food in my stomach, I guess, to keep the hunger pains away. But it's different for them. Constantly eating, constantly burning up energy, and constantly asking you questions. If you want to join their tribe, you've got to shut off all of your mechanisms, and you've got to, because they're demanding it of us now. And they're demanding because this younger set has been so abandoned in these areas that I'm speaking about. They have been so abandoned, it is that you must embed yourself in the tribalness through love, and you can never, not ever once betray the love that you have for them. That's what made it a little difficult with me and T. Terrence, because I love him. I still love him so much. But I'm not going to betray myself for him. You see what I mean? Because sometimes that's what they want you to do. They want you to compromise yourself to prove that you love them. And you can't do that. No one can do that. Here with this new kid, I'm just breaking him into what thesis is. Thesis is very important. So, right now, some of you are saying, well, I know for sure, John, I don't want to be a part of any tribe like that, because you're talking about getting DNA-ciously tied into his genetic code. That's what I'm suggesting. Yes. Yes. Exactly. Now, how does one do that? First of all, there has to be a want. And it comes easy to those of us that are godly. Because for God so loved the world, you know the verse, that he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth should believe and not perish, but have everlasting life. This is what it tells us. That God so loved that he gave. Now, this love that he gave us, he gave, and we give it to others, and quite naturally. We will continuously be giving in that way in order to get the result that we're giving for. See, you get out of your selfish Christian mode. It was Sunday. I thought about it. I am so free. Listen, how do I say this? I know that it is Sunday, but I do not know that it is Sunday because I am going through any rigors of institutionalized religion. I don't have to listen to church bells. I don't have to do that to be reminded. Everything I see is a result of what God has allowed. I have this beautiful plant outside of my home. I don't know what it's called. It's beautiful with those those purple blossoms on them. I don't know what it's called, but it is most beautiful. It's God. I know that there's a God. See my neighbor pulling in from being out. That's God. He's providing for his family. He has this house built like a little hacienda. Beautiful. That's God. My neighbors, completely different from me, from Guatemala. We always talk and smile at each other. Never had a quarreling thought, anything. He is always smiling. Always. I recall when he injured himself on the job and he was home. Always smiling. I've never seen him angry. My neighbor, I mean. Cursing at his children or grandchildren, ever. Unfortunately, some people have seen me angry. Because over the years, I've been holding it all in. I never let it out. Every time somebody did something to me, I took it because I felt that I was obligated when I should not have. It was interesting. This kid that stays with me, he says, haven't you ever wanted to just put on a pair of boxing gloves and pound somebody? And I said, no, not really. I've never had those kinds of desires and that kind of anxiety. And he said, even in a friendly route, I says, no, I wouldn't want to punch my friend in the face. And he said, you're just a good man. Yeah, you're one of those good men. You're a good man. And you know what the kid told me? He said, I dare people to touch me the way I shouldn't be touched. He says, I know I will pound their face in. Wow. But when we went to have lunch, I bowed my head first and said, thank you, Lord, for this food. I didn't eat too much because I don't eat much. Around 11:30, I don't eat much. And he bowed his head, said his prayer out loud, and commenced to gobble down one of the biggest burgers I've ever seen in my life. Gobbled it down. Join their tribe, people. If you want to share God, Jehovah, with them, meet them where they are. I guess that's a good way to put it. Another thing that I was thinking about, the Trayvon Martin situation, as believers, know that as long as people are not loving or caring for other humans unconditionally, admitting to themselves that they are different from their contemporaries, and that it bothers you to be different. And as long as you're indifferent to speak like that and tell the truth like that, you will not be successful with these young people. I guess I learned this years ago from the Christian singer Keith Green, because he and his wife Melanie, opened their homes to some street converted Christians right off the street in their home. Keith would say in a testimony, yes, he and his wife had been robbed like that, but they were trying to love the way that Jesus loved. That's why I've always loved this music. As old as it is, I still love it. It never gets old. Because love never gets old. And it keeps doing the same thing over and over and over again. And when you see people in church, And I mean, I'm so proud of myself. This was Sunday, and I did not focus, and I was driving down the street, and I passed by three, four. I only focused on one major church because it was a mega church, and we were coming down Crenshaw. But all the other churches that I usually look at, see who was there on Sunday morning, I did not glance one time. I was enjoying the young man in the car with me. And we were having a conversation, riding down the street in Los Angeles, conversing. Instead of sitting in a stuffy room, listening to what I already know. And we're in a restaurant having brunch around 12:30. First food that we've eaten today because we got hungry. Went to Denny's. Didn't go to church. I used to go to Denny's restaurants and think about the restaurant as a major auditorium to have church in because I liked the way they were built with the windows and the comfortableness and everything. I've always wanted to have a church like that where people could be just comfortable and not restricted and all sitting in these rows, cloistered together and on their heads. Have you ever noticed why the pulpits? And I used to relish in that. Why back in the olden days when you would go to church, instead of you looking straight ahead or at a screen or something, they had your head turned slightly to the left or to the right, wherever the cleric had the high pulpit. And as God is high and lifted up on the throne, so the cleric is up there. So when you hear his words coming down towards the auditorium floor, it is as if God is speaking through the cleric. What I did when I was doing that is I said, I'm going to communicate what God is saying through my personality. That's called good homiletics. Through my ambition to have you grow. And I would tell them, I expect you to get the lesson after I speak to you 90 minutes. One of these days I'm going to count up the Sundays that I preach and I'll present it to you. Innumerable that the titles of the sermons. I cannot recall all of them. And with all that knowledge, I have to share it with another tribe. So if you are a Christian and you have great knowledge of God and you love God's creation and you're concerned about our young people, they're showing their concern by utilizing the Trayvon Martin case. All they're thinking about is, hey, that could have been me. One thing for an old man like me to speak forth and say, I'm ready to die. I get tired sometimes. That's because I've been here in my 20s, in my 30s, in my 40s, in my 50s, in my 60s. See, I've been here for all of that. They haven't even gotten started in the 20s. Can you imagine? In some kind of a way, I never said this on a webcast either. Listen to this. In some kind of a way, and all the boys that I come in contact with, that I spend a few days in my life, when I die, each of them will carry a part of me with them. They will teach it to their sons and daughters. They will share the stories that I'm sharing. I go on. I always said to God, why didn't you give me a son? Hey, the Lord let me know your name is going to go on in your boys. If you keep doing what I told you to do in their lives, your name will go on in your boys. You know how that would be? Check this out. I would be long dead. And one of these young men that I loved as a Christian big brother, our father type, I don't know, just becomes something utterly fantastic. Doesn't have to be a sporting event that he does or some kind of great halls of academia, but he's going to do something outstanding. And they're going to have the mics and everybody there, and they would say, To what? To what do you attribute this great success towards? I mean, what if there was one thing that you could say to one person, who would that person be and what would you say? And for one of my boys to say, PJ, and his love for me. PJ, they're going to sit with you. PJ. Because see, when that boy says PJ, he's been here when the food ran out, when everything runs out. You know, God is good. I was at home the other day, and a true brother called and asked me would I like a certain kind of fish, and I said, yeah. It's true brother. Dropped it off in my house. I said, oh man, I'll have to pay you when I get paid. And he said, oh, no, that's for you guys. Because see, he knows I have this, I'm trying to help this kid. See. Oh, I want you guys, see, I'm just slowing down on my webcast. I'm just talking in a very real way to you. I stopped ringing the bell because it was hurting Bro Man's ears. And I don't want to, but bing, real talk. I think God wants us to, because the young man was telling me, I said, what do you think it is that God wants me to do for you here? And he, you know what he said to me, bless his little heart. He said, I'm impatient. Show me how to be patient. You have to keep in me to keep telling me why I should keep. Because you know what? He's going to his job today on the bus. Two or three buses he got to take. And he's getting paid peanuts. Basically, not enough to even give me anything. Just. And he said to me, keep me up, old man. Keep me up. What that meant is keep his spirits up. Because he says, I see your spirits. Because these kids in this generation, when it's not working the way that it's supposed to work for them, they get frustrated real quick. And that's why they do stupid things. These are the conversations that I'm having with this young man. He does stupid things because he gets frustrated. I've learned with the last two that I was with before him is that if there is no parental love on a level that far supersedes any love that any other person can give to them, they're going to be in a emergency zone for a while. Morio knows I love him. I think Terrence does too. I can love you all right. I don't have to trust you. See, I love bro man, but I don't trust leaving my food sitting on the floor when I get in the car to go to work and think it's going to be there because I know bro man. I know he's a dog, right? Well, I know people like that too. Has nothing to do with love because that's a different thing altogether. And please don't ever let a child or your children try to threaten you with that word and say, well, you must not love me because you won't let me have my way. No, that's called entitlement. So you have to have that conversation with them also because they're smart. And if you deny them the first time, well, I like this young man. He told me, he says, hey, if I ask you something and it's no, don't pause, don't hesitate. No, I got it. And he said, that's what I need help with, accepting no. And if you ever saw the young man, you would know why. There aren't many young men like him these days. And what I meant by that was that he has the looks and the charm that's going to carry him. He's just one of those kinds of men. He has the looks and the charm and the wit and the intelligence. And here I am trying to curb it. And it's hard to curb because he's a strong-willed boy. He sure is. As a matter of fact, he got the strongest will that I've ever run in contact with. And at the same time, I've introduced him to a couple of Christian friends of mine. And at the same time, he has a very strong determination. You know, he's a kind of a challenge that keeps me alive and keeps me thinking cognitively with him. And I appreciate him for that. I can walk my dog and feel like life has something to offer because another human being is around me. You know, once we get older, really, and I think that's what it is. I was speaking with my dear, lovely daughter about that. And she says, Daddy, you do whatever you need to do to stay healthy and alive. She said, if you need company, just to keep your mind active, have company, keep your mind active. I don't need anybody frustrating me, you know. No, not now. Please don't frustrate me. Well, listen, it's already been about 39 minutes and some seconds, and so I've been rambling on enough. I think that you've heard enough. Thank you for coming by my website. I'm sorry that I was late today putting this up, but you know me, got sidetracked. Now I got to go in that kitchen and cook some dinner. because in about an hour I'll be hungry. Hey, you know the drill. Stay in the Word. Those of you that's been sending the donations to me, thank you very much. Hopefully, tomorrow we'll be back on track, getting you a few more Bible tidbits out there for you to listen to. But you're on the website. I got a whole website full of Bible tidbits. So enjoy that. Thank you for coming to the site.